Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mayor's Table. On today's episode, we have Michelle Meiring, the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Farmington. Michelle and her staff are doing a great job each and every day with over 700 kids and all their programs across three cities here in San Juan County. We're excited to have her on the show to explain what programming they offer, how you can get involved, and the benefit in shaping the youth of tomorrow. Everyone, welcome to the Mayor's Table. Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett here with a first-time guest, which kind of blows my mind.
Mine as well,
because I know, and I'm sorry.
No offense.
Such an important individual in our community, Michelle Meiring, director of the Boys and Girls Club, yeah. President, executive director,
CEO, chief engagement officer, like chief that. Enthusiastic officer.
Ooh, those in Bloomfield, are good uses.
In Bloomfield, they call me Miss Marvelous.
I love it.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'll see him out in public. They'll be like, Miss Marvelous. Like, hello.
So that's great, because let's just start with that, because it's not just about the Farmington Boys and Girls Club, because there are other communities that you're serving in as the chief engagement officer and excitement officer. So yes. Tell us about what the Boys and Girls Club, you know what, let's stop that. Let's actually ask, we need to talk about you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Because maybe the community has not met you before.
Yeah, I've been out here just about 3 years.
3 years. Has it really been 3 years?
It has.
It goes by so fast. What brought you to Farmington?
The Boys and Girls Club. I was offered the position and moved out here. George Sharp was the one who really kind of recruited me and flew me out here for an interview, and I came from Santa Barbara, where I was the executive director of the Police Activities League, another amazing organization serving youth, and that really is about my passion.
How did George Sharp find you?
On Indeed.
Awesome.
Yes, they posted it on Indeed, and I'm a big proponent of submitting a cover letter. And I tell the kids all the time, if you're applying for a job, submit a cover letter so they know who you are.
Yeah.
And he responded, and they flew me out here and everything. And
so from the coast to the desert?
Yes. But I grew up in the Phoenix area.
Oh, so familiar then.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
And loving Farmington?
I love I have lived in D.C., out in Georgia, in California. I'm a small town girl.
Yeah.
I don't like driving Main Street on the weekends. There's traffic on the weekends.
There's definitely traffic.
Yeah. No, I love this community.
I think we just need to get in a place on the show where we ask every guest what your favorite thing is about the community you live in. What would you say?
The people. From the time I flew out here for my interview to today, everybody that I come across on a daily basis, for the most part, is genuine. They're kind. They're small town. They're welcoming. And that's really what it is. If I can feel part of a community within my first few months of living here, it's a good community.
I agree with you. And I think about the individuals who serve on your board. Such a great group of people truly care about the place they live and the kids that the Boys and Girls Club serves. And it's great to have a board like that.
Oh, I will tell you a million times that we probably have the best board in the state of New Mexico, if not the Southwest.
Yeah.
They are incredible, and their passion for the kids is beyond anything I've witnessed, sure.
Let's talk about the kids. So you got Farmington,
Bloomfield,
mm-hmm. And now Aztec.
Absolutely.
All under the umbrella of the farm. Is it San Juan? What is the official title? What is the official name?
Officially, we're the Boys and Girls Club of Farmington, and I'm the interim CEO for the Aztec Boys and Girls Club. But hopefully by the end of March, so within the next 30 days or so, we will be all under one umbrella, and we'll go through the process. BGCA has approved the name, but of course the state and everything else, but the Boys and Girls Clubs of San Juan County.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. How many kids, and there's kids that are registered, and then there's kids who show up every day, but how many registered kids do we have coming to all three clubs?
Well, on a daily basis, we serve about 700 kids a day at all nine of our locations, because we're on six elementary schools as well.
All right.
But total enrolled membership is probably close to double that, because we don't, not everyone comes every day.
Sure.
Not everyone needs us every day. But we are averaging about 700 kids.
That's a lot of kids.
That's a lot. And they're all mine.
Yeah.
Just so you know, they're all mine.
I love when people take ownership for what they do.
Yeah.
And put their passion to it.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize this, that you are running after school programs at elementary school sites. And that is that going on in all three cities?
No. Right now it's in Farmington. We have the 21st Century Grant. We are the Farmington Municipal Schools is the fiscal agent, and we're the partnering agent. So okay. We work very closely with Apache, Animas, Bluffview, Esperanza, McCormick, and McKinley. We have 50 kids at each of those schools in that program after school, Tuesday through Friday, because Monday's early release. And those kids in that program have the option of taking the bus then to the Farmington Club. So,
how long does that grant last?
We, I think, have one more year on this grant before we'll be hopefully submitting for another grant.
Okay. So it's a renewable?
Yes, that's okay. Hopefully the plan. I will tell you, if you want to hear a huge celebration, our 21st Century program is the benchmark in the state.
I love it.
Yes. They are talked about. We are, if there's, you know, they have to go out and do site visits. They want to do Farmington first, because they know the quality of programming up here. And so that's something to be really proud about. Our director of that program has been asked to speak at one of their next conferences. So
wonderful.
She's like, they're making me. I said, because you're amazing.
Yeah.
But it really is the partnership with the school district. We serve the same kids. We have the same purpose. So most cities don't have collaborations like we do with Farmington Municipal. It really is.
That's a common theme, by the way, when we talk about kind of the stakeholders and how everybody kind of works well together in this pond. We all really do. I don't know a lot of agents or not a lot of places where so many agencies have that type of relationship.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Tina White was one of the first people I met when I moved out here with First Tee, and then Andrea Pena with Child Haven, and we sort of started a program for the nonprofit roundtable to bring all the nonprofits together for support. And we, you know, especially when you're youth serving,
yeah.
I mean, I would never start a golf program. That would be ridiculous for me to start a golf program, because First Tee does it. So how do we partner? So they've given it, they've trained our staff. We have equipment to run for our kids that may not have the opportunity to go to a First Tee program. But yeah, you don't find the collaboration among agencies elsewhere either. So
the programming, you just mentioned that you guys have a First Tee component, which mm-hmm. is great. I think one time we had an outdoor recreation component as well. Is that still going on?
COVID put a halt on a few things just because of transportation issues.
Mm-hmm.
This summertime, we do try to get the kids out on field trips down to Burke Park. I'd like to do more with the teens, getting them up hiking, engaging. We mentioned earlier, Durango has a club, so
yeah.
Engaging with those teens.
Well, then I need to recommend to you Evan Pilling, who's our outdoor recreation director for the city, because he's doing a lot of those types of experiences throughout the year. But I know in the summertime, he's leading hikes specifically with the youth. So
that's what we need.
We probably need to connect Evan with you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have a new teen director, so that would be perfect.
And the teens is kind of a really big focus right now, but your age groups that you serve, what ages?
6 through 18. So the middle schoolers, they come running off the bus with the biggest smiles. And I mean, they're our bread and butter. We will always have a ton of elementary age students.
Right.
All four middle schools also bring buses to the club. Those kids come running off the bus.
Well, there's so much to do. I mean, you walk into the club, I mean, there's endless amounts of activities and, you know, from ping pong to pool to kickball to basketball. I mean, there's just so much going on in there.
Robotics, drones. We have a new robotics instructor, and he's an engineer out at NAPI. And he's coming 2 days a week working on robotics with our teens.
How great.
Yeah. I mean, we have the transfer VR technology for our kids to, you know, pop on the Oculus and learn a skill in many of the different trades, which feed right back into our area, manufacturing, construction, diesel mechanics. I mean, aeronautics, all those things that we need future.
Sure.
People, future leaders, that's what we're building, is providing them that opportunity to start exploring that at the club. So leadership development, we have art, we have a library there, the Power Hour Library. So it really is incredible. The mentors, all of our young staff who are mentors to these kids and listen to their stories. And these kids, we know if they have a positive adult figure in their life, their chance of success increases.
Absolutely.
So we're full of that.
When you talk about the mentors, I'm thinking about your staff. I mean, how many staff do you have for 700 kids?
We have about, in total, including our admin, about 53 staff. My favorite story right now, Ryan Hunt, was a teen when the teen center was built, the John Oliphant Taco Bell Teen Center, and that was a huge deal in the community, and it's beautiful space, and he was a teen at the time, and he came back as a part-time youth development professional, and about 6 months ago he said, you know, I could go into my family's construction business. He said, that's just a job and a paycheck. He said, but my passion's here. So we put a plan in place, and as of last week, mid-January, I suppose, he's the team director.
That's fantastic.
Full-time, salaried, with benefits, and he gets it. I mean, that's a true success story of a young man who went through the program and understood the importance of it and wanted to give back.
It's very challenging. My daughter's going to be a teacher. She's doing her student teaching, and it's been interesting to kind of watch her over this past semester, you know, how that's going and how she's developing herself. And it takes really special people, I'm very honest. I mean, to be teachers, to be the program directors, to be able to work with these kids day in and day out. And some have fantastic stories and some have very sad stories, but to be somebody who can say, listen, I can be a light.
I can teach people how to do the books, how to write a grant. I can't teach somebody passion.
Yeah.
You just can't. And some people just have it. They come in and they light up when they see it. The kids come in and the kids light up when they see them. And, you know, they may not see the fruits of their labor right now. It's like planting a seed, like teachers do.
Right.
And then you talk to a successful person later and they're like, well, who influenced you? They're like, my second grade teacher or my mentor at the Boys and Girls Club or a coach. We often don't get to witness, you know, the full fruits of our labor, but we definitely plant those seeds. And
you know, I've thought a lot about those adults that were in my life when I was a kid, and I've thought I need to seek some of them out because I would like to tell them thank you. Thank you for inspiring me. Thank you for showing me love. And it's because I don't know. I feel very fortunate. I had a number of really just stand up people, very good values and morals, and they believed in me. Mm-hmm. When we talk about developing kids' confidence, they need people in life who believe in them, who aren't tearing them down or building them up.
Absolutely.
Who help them through some of these challenges. Life is not easy.
It's not.
And when you're a kid, you're handed a deck of cards and you had nothing to do with that deck of cards. That's what you were handed.
Yep.
And it's so important for us as adults to recognize our responsibility, not just as parents, but as community members. Whether you're in the schools or out of the schools or in the Boys and Girls Club, we all have that ability to be a positive role model and really check our behavior and say, how would this look if somebody was watching me, if a kid was watching me? And this is kind of the conversation we were talking about before.
Yes.
So prior to this episode, we've had some youth sports organizations on and talked about youth sports. And one of the things that was brought up was how hard it is to find coaches and umpires and different things because of how people, parents and others, have a tendency to act at youth sports events. And you all run a couple very important programs that have a long tradition here. And tell me, how long has the Boys and Girls Club been in Farmington?
Since 1960.
1960.
Started with the Kwanzaa Hut. I've heard stories about the Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think
the Kwanzaa. I'd forgotten. I remember the Kwanzaa Hut now.
Yep. If you grew up in this area, you probably at some point saw the Kwanzaa Hut. Walked into the Kwanzaa Hut.
Played basketball,
went to the barbecue, which, you know, has been going on for almost as long. But we have to remember that kids watch everything.
Sponges.
Kids hear everything.
They sure do.
You know, something as simple as we were downtown over the weekend and they're like, well, we can just cross here. And I said, no, I have to cross at the crosswalk. I said, because one of my kids could be driving by and they could see Miss Michelle not crossing at a crosswalk.
I love that. Even that small little thing.
Yeah. And if I'm in a store and I'm, you know, and I tell the kids, if you're out and somebody has a name tag, use their name. I said, because you like it when somebody uses your name.
Right.
But they're watching us all the time and they're learning. And, you know, I tell parents and coaches, when you walk in through our building, you are a mentor to the kids. Even if you're just in our building for 10 minutes. If you're watching a game, if you're coaching a kid, they look up to us, and if they see an adult doing something, they think it's okay for them to do.
Right.
And, you know, we all make mistakes. I mean, the kids make mistakes. I had one kid, he's like, I'm a bad kid. I said, there are no bad kids here. I said, you may make a poor decision. I said, but that's where we step in, and we want you to learn from it. But I'd much rather them make a bad decision inside a safe space than out on the street corner.
Right.
So,
right.
But we have to be, you know, it's 100% about the kids.
With everything that's kind of going on, and I know you guys do some really cool things you have your Youth of the Year program, which I've had the opportunity to be a part of, both locally and the state, which is a really unique experience, by the way. That was very unique. You have other competitions. Was it a music competition that I was at one year? They had some kids playing musical instruments. They put together these performances. Are there other things happening inside of the club that most people may not know about?
They may not know. When New Mexico legislation was in session, their 30-day session, we took three young ladies from Heights down. Senator Neville invited them to sit in on an education committee meeting, and we sat in there for maybe 10 minutes. We're like, this is so boring. I'm like, but this is where it starts. And they got to meet Senator Scherer, and they got to walk around the Capitol. Those are unique opportunities for our kids. I mean, we're 3.5 hours from Santa Fe, so it's not something that every kid will have the opportunity to do.
Sure.
Yes, the Youth of the Year will be taking two young leaders down next month to compete with the other Youth of the Year winners across the state. And they get to interact with peers that are just like them, but from different parts of the state, people they may never have met before, and hear stories, because they give their speech at the dinner. And
right.
So they get to hear that, you know, the struggles they might be having or their accomplishments up here, others across the state are facing the same things. They're not necessarily alone, but they're unique opportunities for our kids. And we're really trying to build the teen program, like we mentioned. And every Monday, we try to get a group over to the Humane Society, you know, the shelter, to learn skills and volunteer.
Yeah.
And they've volunteered at National Night Out and at the 9/11 steps. We've had them out there. And we just really want our youth to see that they can be impactful. So those are some things with the youth. Of course, we always have our golf tournament, and it's going to be a 2-day event this year.
Yeah, what are the dates of that?
May 17th and 18th.
How would somebody sign up for a team? Can you sign up as an individual?
Tell us more. We're just going to do teams this year, and you'll be able to check our website or sign up for our newsletter, and we'll get you that information.
Okay.
Find George Sharp.
Get on George's spam list.
And yes.
You can get all
and
that
you'll
great
get
info.
It. Yeah. You know, of course, the barbecue, I think last year was 55 years of the barbecue, and it was our biggest year yet. And with Kenny Anderson, we've added the drive-through, and we still have people crowding in, dining in. And
I got to serve beans this year at the
event. I think I got a picture of
cool.
you serving beans.
Yeah. No, very thankful. Aztec Well and Woods Insurance and just a lot of really good volunteers who cook that brisket all night long.
I know, and it's right outside my office.
Yeah.
So
I think I asked Jason how much meat they cooked, but I can't remember what he said.
It was
huge.
It's a huge
turnout. Is amazing. That's traffic. It is what it is. But I mean, there's how many people do you think? How many tickets get sold?
Well, we raised over $50,000 this year. I think it was our biggest year. And I think I can't even remember the number that he said that we served. I mean, the number of cars that come through, but they're picking up 6, 7, 8 dinners.
Yeah.
It's a staple. Right when I moved out here and I was at Pinion Family Pharmacy getting my first COVID, and some ladies were talking about teaching, I said, you're a teacher. I just started the Boys and Girls Club. They're like, are you having your barbecue this year? Like, they're retired teachers. Are you having your barbecue this year? I mean, we could never do away with it. We're not going to raise the price. It's still $10. But it's the event of the year here.
It's really fun to see all the people who come out for that. You know, we talked many times on the show and in other venues here in the city, and I just had a conversation recently with my father-in-law just about kind of the large corporations that have moved out of this area. So prior to Michelle's time here, when we had groups like ConocoPhillips that gave so much money to the nonprofits, and one of the subjects came up when we were talking with Catherine Abeda with the San Juan United Way is how this community has really rallied, and the money has not dipped. The money has stayed consistently strong, and that when you look at an event like the barbecue, I mean, that's something the entire community can get behind, and you get fantastic food. And so, you know, you really are contributing. $50,000 is nothing to shake a stick at. That's a lot of money.
And
that goes a long way.
It goes a very long way.
Not as far as it used to, but
no,
it still, goes,
right.
still goes a long way.
I know. And you know, we charge $7 a week for after school care.
What?
$7 a week for after school care.
For the whole week?
For the whole week. If you pay $30, you get 5 weeks.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't realize it was that affordable.
It is so, and we, last year we allocated more than $80,000 in scholarships. I will not turn a family away. I won't. And I interview the parents come in and they have documentation because we get funding specifically for scholarships. So one of my things is decision making. How does it further our mission and benefit the kids? And are we being good stewards to our donors? And so we have to collect that information. But there's things that don't show up, medical bills, other things that don't show up on those forms. And I'm not going to turn a child away. But it's also, what other services do you need? Do I connect you with ECHO? Do I connect you with United Way? What else do you need? It's really powerful to have an event or receive a large donation from Taco Bell through their Roundup or, Hillcorp, their employees give, and to look at our kids and say, do you know that this place exists because people who don't know you believe in you? And they're like, I'm like, no, they don't know who you are, but they want you to succeed and they believe in you. And when you saw my mom at Music by the Pine, she goes, I've never been in a community that wraps their arms around the Boys and Girls Clubs as much as this one. And it's true. You know, our budget continues to increase and my board's like, we gotta get it. I said, we'll get it. You know, last year we didn't think we'd get it and we got it. Like, you know, if you don't invest in our kids, you're gonna invest later.
That's right. That's such an important component. Either you're investing on the front end or you're paying in the back end. And it's so much more worthy. There's so many better outcomes when you invest on the front side of that equation.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And that goes for many, many, you know, components of our social lives and our education system and and business and other things. But it is, you invest on that front end. And the Boys and Girls Club, I think it's benefited by having strong leadership in the director role. You know, obviously, Michelle, I think you're fantastic.
Thank you.
But you've been here for
3 years.
Well, the club, though, has been here since 1960. I mean, it's a piece of the fabric, right, of Farmington.
Yes.
And the Quonset Hut. When you said that, I had totally forgotten about the Quonset Hut. But, yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. You know, we have people on our board who are involved in the club. We have Daniel Frank from M&R Planning joined the board. And they give back every year through Lift for Gifts. And a couple of their employees worked at the Bloomfield Club. Like, they grew up there. That's where they went. And, you know,
that's
it's
great.
The impact. And they get it.
They bought 700 hoodies.
Yes.
Is that right that I saw that?
Yes. So they did about 3 years ago, came to us and said, we want to do an event to give back. They're all big lifters.
Yep.
And
they own a gym.
Yes. But that event is so uplifting. Like, I want all my kids to go to it because they're just cheering for each other. It's like going to a Special Olympics event where everybody just wants you to do your best. And they've raised money to purchase these hoodies, and the kids wear them all year long. So this was the third year we gave them out. First year they were gray, last year they were blue, this year they were red. And this year we had kids wearing gray on the day of hoodie distribution. We had kids in blue. I mean, we have a picture, you know, of each, you know, of all three in a row, because they wear them every single day.
Yeah.
And it was the first year we were able to take them out to Aztec, and those kids were just floored, you know, that, you know, they were now included in this, you know, this family that's going to ensure that those doors stay open for those kids. And, you know, more than 50 kids out there every day now too. So,
you know, kudos to M&R for stepping in and seeing an opportunity to do that. And you have a really strong group of corporate citizens and donors. Taco Bell, Kenny
yes.
Anderson and his mother, they've been big time supporters.
Oh, huge supporters.
And people may not know, but they do the Rounded Up. Is it the Rounded Up program when you buy at Taco Bell?
Yes.
Right.
The Roundup.
So if if it's $3.59, you can round up to $4, and that 41 cents then goes to the Boys and Girls Club.
It does. Part of it goes to the Live Moss Scholarship, which 2 years in a row, a club kid, Jerrica, won.
Oh, wow.
She was one of our teens and works for Kenny. And then it comes, stays local. So we received a check this past fall for $50,000 and tacos.
And we got tacos.
I know. And then we had a young man, and he was 16 and very tall. And I was like, you know, you want a job? And he's like, yeah. So I said, Kenny, come talk to this young man. So Kenny said, you want a job? And he's like, yeah. So he pulled his manager over. We got him hooked up, and he got a job at Taco Bell. But yeah, we got tacos and we got $50,000.
That's a good day.
That's a very good
day. I mean,
day.
If you get tacos, it's a good day. And then if you get the check on top of that, it's a really good day.
Yeah. Panda Express is another one. We did they gave us a bunch of money to redo a room last year. And we always get at least $10,000 a year from them for our Project Learn. And so we have the Panda Care Center of Hope, which is where our robotics and all that STEM takes place. We have the Taco Bell Teen Center. Yeah, I got to figure out how to get like the Chick-fil-A Munchy Bunchy courtyard in there. What else can I do?
In case Mr. Smouse is watching.
That's yes. No, they, you know, talk. We have pictures of the cow playing video games on a teen night at the club.
And awesome.
Chick-fil-A does a great job of helping provide food when we do teen nights and everything. The cow came and he's playing video games with our teens. So, no, immense support from this community.
We're very fortunate. I truly believe that. Ross is another one that you mentioned, has done good work.
Yep. Each year they do a roundup at the register. We just missed it, but hopefully you shopped at Ross during that time and was able to round up at the register. Well, maybe it goes through March 3rd. You might have another week.
Okay.
to go shop at Ross, get some great deals, round up at the register, and that stays local as well. You'll see our table out there with information about our programs, but Ross is another great partner of ours.
Is there opportunities for people to volunteer at the Boys and Girls Club?
Absolutely. You come talk to me. We do background checks on anybody who works repetitively with youth because safeties are number one. But if you have a special skill or talent that you want to bring to the club, art, music, mentoring our teens in a career pathway, STEM. We have a library if you like reading to kiddos. We know a lot of our kiddos got behind. And our kids love it when people come in, and especially the littles, because they'll be your best friend.
Right. No, there's nothing greater for me than going into an elementary school.
Yeah.
To read to elementary school kids. Like, it is one of my favorite things to do. And I've said that many times. It's just so rewarding, you know, and I remember how important that was to me when I was in elementary school. Just whether it was my parents or a teacher or my best friend and I used to just hang out and read to one another, you know, it's just so important. So there is volunteer opportunities, so they need to come talk to Michelle. They
need to come talk to me.
And if people are interested in signing their kids up for your programs, they can go on to the Boys and Girls Club website, I imagine. Or
they can. We got to work on updating that, but they can come in Tuesday through Friday between 9 and 2. While we have kids there, it's really hard to sign new kids up. But I love, one of my favorite things is taking a parent and their kid on a tour of the club, especially when kids are there.
Yeah.
So, or donors. You want a tour of the club, you come see me.
Any open positions on your board?
On my board?
Yeah.
If you're interested, we always have committees going. We have a couple events coming up. That's a great way to start as we're combining the two boards with Aztec. All seven of their board members are staying.
That's great.
That's incredible. But we always have room on committees, and let us know that you have an interest and we'll start getting you involved. And
okay. And then if anybody wants to donate,
oh, you call
what do you
me.
Recommend? Call you?
Yeah, or Deb Cutler. If you know Deb Cutler, call Deb Cutler. She's our major gifts coordinator.
Good to know that. Or you can be a part of the golf tournament May 17th and 18th. You can buy some barbecue in September. The poker run.
We have our first meeting Monday. And that event last year raised $40,000 for the clubs. And we added the dirt portion. And
you got the OHVs out there. And
yep.
I love it. So lots of ways to be a part of the success of the Boys and Girls Club, soon to be of San Juan County.
That's going to be so exciting.
And we just encourage that so much here. You know, being a good citizen in my mind is always being able to give back and being service-minded. And I've enjoyed bringing on to the show a really big array of nonprofits that are serving our youth. And it's just a mission that we have to keep up, and we have to stay focused on it. And it takes a lot of people to make that happen.
Oh, it takes a lot of people. But I tell you what, there's the return on your investment in youth is immeasurable.
When you talk about the impact of the programs, if somebody asks you that, Michelle, I want to donate, can you tell me what the impact is of the programming that you offer our kids? What does it mean to me as a donor? Or as a community member?
As a community member. Lots of times it's, you know, we like to connect donors to something that's very impactful to them. Like if you're really into art, that's a great way. But when we have, you know, almost 700 kids walking through our doors every day, you can't measure that potential, right? And so when we get them involved in community service, when we get them learning how to do conflict resolution in a small group, I mean, we're still seeing the effects of COVID in that socialization aspect. And so you just, you know, improvement in grades, improvement in school attendance, sometimes better relationships with their parents because they're learning, you know, how to act, how to learn to express their emotions, their feelings. That really is huge. And when we have teens that want to come to the club, we pick up at at FHS now, and we're looking how do we pick up at PV. They don't need to come to the club. Their parents don't need them to come to the club. They want to come to the club. They want to be surrounded by positive, uplifting people. And
don't we all?
We all do.
Don't we all?
We do. And if you want to, you know, if you're having a bad day, come and watch the kids running off the bus. It's like a bunch of little puppies running at you. And they're excited. And they, you know, they get excited to learn. And we had one little girl, and she got held back, and it broke her heart. And I said, well, let's get you a reading buddy. And we got her a reading buddy. And when she, you know, improves in that area, and she comes running up and tells you, I'm reading this book now, you know, and her eyes light up. That's just incredible. When they're, you know, learn to put a robot together in robotics, and it moves, or they're flying a drone, and they're creating art that's being displayed and entered into BGCA contests, or, I mean, that's really powerful. And I mean, the message to our kids is they're worth it. They're worth the hard work of school, but they're also worth being loved and being lifted up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We all want that. And it's, I don't know. I think you just said it best there, Michelle. I try and take the opportunities where I can to do that. And I know you are leading such a great group of individuals. And I'm just so proud that the success that you're having here, and you're expanding, and you're wanting to spread that message. Kids are worth it. And all these clubs, yeah. And parents watching this, grandparents watching this, that you have to carry that message too.
Yeah.
With each and every one of them. They're worth it.
They're worth it. And
and it makes a difference. It's, again, it's that investment on the front end. And these are young kids. Let's invest in them now.
Absolutely.
So that when they become adults, they already have those great social characteristics that we're looking for. And, you know, we need for society to maintain itself and service-minded individuals who are truly looking out for one another.
Oh, 100%. And who see the value in being a member of the Farmington Aztec Bloomfield community.
Yeah.
And they may go off to school, they may go off for training, but we want them to see that this is a great place to live too, and to come back and raise their kids here.
And create those memories, those foundational memories that, man, I had a great childhood. Man, that Boys and Girls Club was so influential to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, thanks for being here. I do want to mention this is, you know, it is such a great example of a public-private relationship, because obviously the cities, both or all three, Farmington, Bloomfield, Aztec, they own the facilities where the Boys and Girls Clubs operate, and then it's private donations that go in to make the programming happen. And so it's neat to see the public-private kind of components come together for this mission.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're so grateful for our relationships with the three cities and the school districts. School districts, and then just the community.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
Just get involved. I mean, that's what we need. That's what our kids need.
Absolutely.
You know, reach out to me. We love to collaborate. We love to partner. If you have an event that you could use some teen volunteers, we're really trying to encourage that community service, make that a cornerstone of their development.
And any teen looking to go to college, I mean, that's one of the foundational things they're looking at is, have you served others in your community? And if you're looking for scholarships, that's a really important component. So here's an opportunity that's every day there.
Every day.
So, no, it's a great reminder.
Yep, we love it. Well, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate you having me on.
Chief Excitement Officer Michelle Myring, thank you for being here with us today. And thank you, as always, for tuning in to the Mayor's Table. We've spent a lot of time over this past year talking with nonprofits that operate here. And I continue to just ask you, as a call to action, find those nonprofits whose missions are something you're passionate about. There's so much opportunity here at the Boys and Girls Club to give back and make this a part of who you are in service to your community. So make sure you call Michelle, get on the phone with her, and find ways that you can connect with the Boys and Girls Club, Farmington, Aztec, and Bloomfield.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks again. We'll see you here next time on the Mayor's Table.